Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We're back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Episode number 444 of the podcast. Thank you very much for your patronage. Please become a friend to us via our email address, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Give it out at the top of the show every week. Also, you can call us 949-464-TBLS. Additionally, you can subscribe to all the extra content we do, including the stereo after show that I repost after performing it live, usually on Friday nights. That shows up on the Red Circle page, as well as, say, for instance, this week. Later on, after the show, we're going to talk about the mom that's being shunned by her community for breastfeeding on TikTok. That's a video I'm going to need to watch and review. I'll do that during the bonus time later. Also, Fat Joe, the rapper, who's like pretty fat, but he's no Big Pun, RIP. He's receiving some backlash for his use of the N-word. You know who uses the N-word a lot is our dear friend Tekashi 6ix9ine, also not black. Not black, not apologizing for his use of the N-word. We'll talk about that later. We'll probably also talk about how Facebook has been caught accepting bribes from OnlyFans to downplay, shadow ban rival sites. That's something we're going to want to talk about. Oh, then we got a medieval times story. None of that is going to be on the regular show. If you want to hear the bonus content that we do, you're going to have to subscribe via the link in the show notes. Click the link there. $5 a month, $50 a year. That's the way you sign up for that. Oh, also, well, we'll get into this in a second. I'll just say people have been asking, hey, Brian, what's up with the bachelor lifestyle? And we haven't been covering Bachelor in Paradise, and it's 100% the fault of co-host Jason Stewart, friend of the show. He just does not care enough about you guys to show up at the regular time and do the show. So I've been watching. I have thoughts, a lot of thoughts. Victoria is there. Everybody will remember her from, I can't remember whose season, one of the guys. I don't know, but you know who she is. A new Bachelor Lifestyle is coming soon. Please listen to it when we do. Don't give up on the Bachelor Lifestyle just because Jason Stewart has given up on you. I'm joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, but I am under fire by the Camp Lejeune settlement emails.
How's the water at Camp Lejeune?
What's
Does anybody
going
know?
On?
Does anybody?
I mean, I can appreciate a well-orchestrated phishing scam like as good as anyone else.
Yeah.
But my God, I am getting like we used to joke 20 years ago about the Nigerian prince. Yes. Camp Lejeune in the last like 3 weeks has obliterated Nigerian prince.
Well, hold on.
I've probably gotten 15 emails in the last 3 weeks.
Now, I get them too. But now isn't Camp Lejeune is also
like
that
South Carolina,
that spelling.
I think.
Let's no wonder they're not getting any responses because of the spelling of Camp Lejeune. That's a real thing, much like mesothelioma is a real thing that exists. They're trying to build a class.
Chasers get in there.
Yes.
But I think this is straight up Nigerian prince territory.
Oh, it could be. I don't know. I don't know enough about it other than to be annoyed by it. Anybody, we have a lot of military listeners. Anybody in our audience who at any point was stationed at Camp Lejeune, can you testify to the quality of the water? How is the water at Camp Lejeune? Because I heard it gives you cancer.
Is it like Flint? Is that it?
Yeah.
It's
yes. they were, it's a military base where they were giving our best and brightest. I believe it's a Marine base. Don't go crazy if I'm wrong. I think so. It's,
they
were giving them cancer water. It's a cancer water base operated by the United States military, and that will not stand. It will not stand.
Especially because we spend so much goddamn money on the military, but it's on planes that we'll never use and shit like that.
Yeah, cancer water, fine. F-35s, let's do it.
I don't know, but we're going through the shock and awe treatment with these emails. They keep coming, and what's the end game? Yeah. Is it just phishing?
Well, it's also on every commercial on every fucking college football game. Yeah. But you know how they do? They'll do the national commercials and then they'll blitz out for a second and do a fucking local car dealership. That's when the Camp Lejeune shows up because those are cheaper. But it's like you can't get away from it.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that I can spot. I mean, the best is like you get the Prime emails or Netflix account suspended. Yeah. Click here.
Yeah.
And Michelle has built a great career and she's smart with people, but she asks me all the time and I knew I was in about like, hey, is our Netflix account suspended? I'm like, don't click. Yeah. But today she asked me about Camp Lejeune and I thought, all right, it's time to address this.
What about, here's a new one. DocuSign. I get a lot of.
I do too. How many documents does somebody need?
Are you getting ripped off? It's like, are you getting ripped off on your DocuSign account? And I'm like, well, first of all, you spelled it Sing. So I know you're not actually messaging me from DocuSign. I get that much. But like, how many documents can people be signing electronically every single day that they need to deal with this whole DocuSign thing? It's crazy.
What's another one? There's a few, but yeah, DocuSign is a big one.
Yes. Those are the biggest. I'm dealing with a new look. I could lose our document here. Oh, there. Just don't click anything else, Brian. Just don't click on it. I have a habit of highlighting and unhighlighting things I'm about to talk about. And I'm working on our show document on a different computer than I normally do. And when I go to click, like half the thing disappears every time. So I could forget. I could mess up. Ed, this week, speaking of co-hosts of the Bachelor Lifestyle and occasional guest here on this show, Jason Stewart, props go out to him. Congratulations in order. My man had his 50th birthday this weekend.
Oh, I did see that. Yes. I wished him a happy birthday.
Yes, he had a big party at Danny Trejo's Cantina in Hollywood.
Oh, sounds delightful.
It was great. My buddy Travis Rogers sprung for a black car to drive us and our significant others to and from. Cannot thank him enough. That could not have been cheap. Also, the limo driver saw my dick.
Did that happen?
Well, so I had to be that guy, Ed, and I didn't want to be that guy. I'm never that guy. But it was, it was Friday night traffic to get there, and it's a solid 60-mile trip from where we live to Hollywood, California. Might be closer to 70. So it was nearly 2 hours in the car. And at Travis Rogers' house, he poured me a large, delicious, frozen, nearly frozen, dirty martini. And he poured that thing to the actual, it was like a Mr. Wizard experiment where it was like held on. It was actually bulging above the top of the glass, but it was held on by what we call surface tension, Ed. So I drank that whole thing. Then I think I had a beer at his house. Then I poured myself a roadie beer. I think I took two roadie beers.
A road soda.
Yeah, in the car. And about halfway there, it's stop and start traffic. The car's jerking around.
Oh, I get it.
I raised my hand. I go, I'm sorry to do this. I got to take a leak. And because
your eyeballs are swimming at that point.
Yeah. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't be a party to the conversation we're having. And Travis's lovely wife, Susan, she's sitting next to me in the way back. And she's like, you got to pee, don't you? And I'm like, I'm sorry. So the driver pulls over near the Commerce Casino. He pulls up to a gas station and I go in and the door is locked.
Oh no.
And I wait there about a minute and a half, 90 seconds. And I go, I can't do this. And I run out the front door and it's a well lit station, Ed. There's plenty of lights everywhere and there's just no, just dark spots.
There's no place behind it?
Yeah, nope. It was like backed up to like some industrial thing. There was no going behind it. There was no dumpster area. The telltale areas, the regular spots.
Yeah.
What I was thinking. There was just some bushes up against the front. And then look, you're not thinking straight when you're in this position. I walk up to a bush and I realize that the whole gas station can see me pee. But rather than to do the smart thing and turn my back toward all of them and pee on the bush, I stand on the other side of the bush and start peeing on it, fully on display to the patrons of the gas station. My thought process being, well, if some 5-0 rolls up or some hero tries to put a stop to this, I can see him coming. If my back is to all the action, I don't know if somebody comes up on me. So I got to take my chances and just let it go right here on this bush. And it was a low bush, Ed. It was shrubbery.
It was not like somebody's hedges that you can't see.
But right. It wasn't, yeah. It was below knee height, but I just couldn't look. I had no choice. It was that serious. So I start letting it go and I'm like, hey, I see people pumping their gas. And I'm like, this is LA. Like nobody is noticing what I'm doing. No, they only care about themselves.
Well, I mean, it might be slightly more LA, but for the most part, if you're in a real place,
it's true.
Nobody gives a shit about
it. Like if all you're real places. Yeah.
If you're in a not real place, I guess people are paying attention to the person next to them. But for the most part, real places, people are consumed with themselves.
It's true. If people are either into their own thing or they're just trying to survive, in which case they don't give a shit.
I don't even mean selfish. Yeah. I just mean life is hard enough.
Yeah. There's no Karens.
You can't be consumed with somebody else's business.
That's right. So I'm letting it go. And the limo driver comes walking up from around the corner and he's like, oh, looks right at my dick. And he's like, oh, there's no bath. And I'm like, it's locked. And he's like, all right, cool. So I wasn't expecting for a middle-aged Armenian gentleman in a sport coat to see my penis last Friday night on the way to Jay Stu's party. But there I was. That happened to me. That's a thing that occurred, and I'm fine with it.
You can't plan everything in life.
It's true. You really can't. Also, I was a little concerned because, look, this is a Danny Trejo's place, a celebrity taco shop, and Danny was there. He's a friend of Jay Stu's girlfriend's family.
So really?
So he was there, but he had left before we got there. And I just didn't have high hopes for a celebrity taco place's taco.
But I do love Danny Trejo.
I love Danny Trejo. Wangro?
Isn't he great in everything?
He's great in everything. I have to say, pleasantly surprised, my man Danny Trejo does a fantastic fucking taco. I mean, good. Like, not like just good for a celebrity taco, good for any taco. Fantastic. Great grub. Great group of people. Happy birthday, Jay Stu. Even though you've been really fucking me on the Bachelor Lifestyle Podcast episodes.
That's because of baseball?
Well, I don't know. We normally record him on Thursdays and he goes, I can do it on Sunday between 5:37 and 6:04. And then I'm like, okay, let's do that. And then, but then I couldn't, I was, it took me longer to get home from San Diego that day than I thought it would. So I just couldn't, I wasn't available to do that. And so it's just like, we've been going back and forth, and I, you know, I think he's kind of bullying me on it a little bit, but we'll get back. We'll get back to doing
okay.
it. Oh, there's one more thing I got to self-report before it comes out about me.
Uh-oh.
We come back from the Trejo's Tacos extravaganza. Did it right. We're home by midnight. I was wasted. We had beers on the way home in the Travis Rogers provided black car. Dropped me off at my door, went right to bed. I woke up the next day. I was feeling a little tired, but it was the rare two event weekend, because Saturday night we were going to see Anthony Jeselnik at the Irvine Improv.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. So we went there, and we went to the early show. And so we were home by like 10, sat down on the couch, had a little whiskey, and both me and my chick looked at each other and we're like, do you just want to go to bed? And we're like, yeah, we both did. So I was in bed by 11. I woke up Sunday and I was just like, felt like kind of lethargic. I didn't feel myself. Just felt really tired all day. Went to bed, woke up the next morning, Ed. Am I
more COVID?
No, close. Very close. Well, actually worse. Much worse than my two stints with COVID. Woke up. I was a little congested. My bad sore throat. And my left eye.
Pink eye?
Was completely crusted shut.
Oh no.
I had pink eye. I had.
Oh, is it from the little one?
Well, yes. So I know people listening are going to be like, oh, Brian's been eating ass. And that is not how I contracted pink eye.
Because that's a young child spreader
right.
disease. Like right. your high school aged
right. yes.
kids are not. Pink eye spreader.
Well, two of the children in our house both had sinus infections and earaches, and it manifested in pink eye. It was like a whole everything. It was like a bacterial infection of the face. And I was bragging about how I was untouchable. This is what I do. I go, oh, this can't get me. I tell people this is just exactly what happened with COVID.
The
first time I got COVID. The day before I got COVID, I was telling everybody, oh, it's impossible for me to get COVID. I'll never get it. The next day I got it. I was bragging to my one child. I'm like, look, you're all fucked up. I'm like, this doesn't affect me. I don't get it. I'm not going to get what you have. The next day, I had a crusted over eye. I had pink eye. And I had to immediately take myself to the urgent care. And be like, hey, you got to deal with this. So they gave me some shit for it. And they go, and I go, hey, I go,
is that antibiotics? Like, what?
Both antibiotics and drops.
Oh yeah.
And I go, hey, also, I feel like it's creeping into my other eye. And they go, oh yeah, that happens because they're so close together. And I go, yeah, especially me, because my eyes are fucking extra close together. Of course it's going to transfer. It goes, it probably went behind the bridge of my nose. It didn't even need to leap. Because my eyes are so close together, it went under behind the bridge of my nose and crept into the other eye. So I just been for
you like, know who's not at risk of that?
Britney Spears,
Jimbo Fisher.
Oh yeah, Jimbo Fisher. Yeah, who's Anna the quarterback Taylor for the Ravens? Oh yeah, big time. The chess chick. And oh, who's the quarterback of the Ravens?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. If he gets pink eye in one eye, it could never, it would be like Magellan trying to fucking sail over to the other eye. He would have to go around the horn. Impossible. Impossible to do. So before anybody, I don't want anybody to get word of my pink eyes, plural situation, and start talking about how I was eating ass. It was transmitted in the home. Via a home of many very sick children, and I'm all better now. Thank you, everyone, for the thoughts and prayers. I appreciate it.
Is it a quick bounce back like after a couple days of?
Yeah, it was like, yeah, like a day and a half. Like I was, I woke up this morning, my eye was still slightly gooey. And then, but I've been using, and I've been doing the drops like every, I don't know, half an hour. I've been just dropping drops in my eye, and now I'm better. Like there's no issue anymore. Non-contage at this point. I'm back, fired up. Never felt healthier, honestly.
All right, good for you.
All right, you ready to talk some sports?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I might own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What?
Sports.
Yeah, sports. Well, I'm not thinking straight. My brain has been infected by pink eye bacteria.
I forgot to mention this. I read today, I think he's dead, but today's Peter Boyle's birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, he died a few years ago.
The best man at his wedding was John Lennon.
Shut up.
His wife was a Rolling Stone photographer, and so she knew Yoko, and then he became friends with John.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Peter Boyle, yeah. Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's the move.
God, really. That movie is so good.
It's so good. I just watched it not that long ago.
You know what I watched yesterday?
Tell me.
Misery.
Oh, I watched that not that long ago, too. Fantastic.
Kathy Bates. Yeah. One of the top 10 performances of all time.
Terrifying.
Kind of good.
Terrifying.
Jeez, that's so
terrifying.
He left
that little figurine, that little penguin figurine.
Yeah, penguin.
Yeah.
Supposed to face due south.
Yeah. Yes.
So scary.
Super fan.
R.I.P.
Oh. R.I.P.
When you think Rolaids Relief Man Awards of our childhood, feel like this guy has got to be one or two.
Are they not doing that anymore? Do we still get a... There's no more IBM You Make the Call either.
I used to hear a lot of Rolaids or read a lot of Rolaids.
Relief Man of the Year.
Yeah, well, this guy...
They give you like a Chrysler LeBaron or something, too, for being the Rolaids Relief Man of the Year. Yeah, like, it was bullshit.
I believe so. Yeah, there was a car involved.
Yep.
And also, we see lots of beards now.
Yep.
But we didn't used to. We didn't see it, except for this dude. Bruce Sutter. R.I.P. 69 years old.
Ouch. R.I.P. I mean, it's...
Cardinal, look, mostly, right?
Yeah, Cardinal, Cub,
right.
White Sox, I believe. You know, those relief pitchers, they'll bounce around. But I remember him as a Cardinal with those beautiful Sunday blues. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Was that a sharp look?
When I think of him, I think of the baseball card, and I think he always was in the light blue baseball card.
Yeah.
Really, really brought out the color in his beard.
No, the guy was amazing. Now, Ed, he passed... just recently at 69 years old. It's a nice age, but I don't, you can help me with the math here. That means in 1979.
So 40, just, it's so easy to say 1982 was 40 years ago,
right? So 43 years ago in 1979, when he won the Cy Young Award, you mean to tell me, wait, he was like 20. Holy shit.
He was in his 20s.
How? And then in 1984, 38 years ago, when he led the league in saves, was he also a Padre? Now I gotta know. With 45 saves. 1984 was 38 years ago. What's 69 minus 38, Ed? He was like 32.
You take the 9 minus the 8.
Yes.
No, 1.
This is not my strong suit. I mean, the guy was not that old now.
The beard can age a man, I guess.
I mean, well, also, oh, he's one of those guys, much like Roger Clemens. Bruce, middle name. Cardinals, Cubs. Oh, it only says number 42. Great number. Jackie Robinson. Was he only on two teams? That can't be right.
Yeah, because Lee Smith played for like 12 teams. Yeah, you know, least. Like relievers tend to do that. Yeah. Like Lee Smith was an Oriole for a year or two.
Yeah. Like, Angel, probably the worst year of his career.
But I'm just saying, like you said, relievers tend to bounce around towards the end.
No, they really do. They're hired guns. I can't get this. I can't get any because I'm using a different computer. Chrome won't let me open any windows. It keeps telling me my connection is not private. I think I've fucked something up on my things. Anyway, he was on a lot of teams.
You know what? You know what warning I get a lot now?
Camp Lejeune. Like,
but Chrome will be like, "Hey, your passwords are
compromised." Oh yeah, I got compromised.
You gotta reset these 36. Yeah. And I'm not doing that. I can't do it.
Yeah, because it's all one password.
How much can I remember?
Going to every site.
I'm sorry, I can't do it.
Sometimes I do it where I'll just let Chrome suggest the password, and that's just like. I mean, that's like dancing with the devil right there. Because it's like, I'm going to be on some other computer someday. And I'm going to be trying to get into Spotify. But I'm not on Chrome. Or I'm on my phone or something. And I'm not going to know some password with like 4 asterisks and an ampersand and a capital J in it. Like, I'm never going to be able to remember that. But sometimes I'll roll the dice.
Yeah, that's the problem when they're like, "Hey, try this fancy new password," but then you can't ever remember.
No,
ever.
No, never.
Oh, it's like my mom's Wi-Fi password.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to look at the back of the box, and it's 19 numbers.
I got that because when I got the box, they're like, "Don't change it. It's got to be this. Just leave it this. It fucks things up if you don't leave it this." And mine is like. I got it. People are like, "What's your Wi-Fi?" And I got to like send them a picture and the picture's all blurry. And it's like capital C, lowercase d, J, a bunch of numbers, then some more capitals and some lowercase.
You never changed it?
They told me not to.
Oh, I changed it right away because there's always a new device. Somebody needs to figure it out. Yeah. And I can't.
Is your password somehow like different strokes related? Is it like Drummond's?
It's not
84.
It's not that, but it's not that. I'll say that.
I knew it. Who else died?
It's someone who comes in and they see what the Wi-Fi name is. They'll figure out the password.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah.
Also, former Packer and Jet tight end Tyrone Davis, 50. RIP. Too young.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Too young. Yes.
We've got an update.
Yes.
The fisherman caught in the Cleveland tournament.
Yep.
Jamming weights inside the fish.
Weights.
They have been charged with grand theft.
Yeah. So they had won, like the year before, they had won like 300 grand on fishing tournaments.
Yeah. I mean, elephants and white Midwestern fishermen, don't forget.
Yeah. No, they were pissed. And this one was apparently just for 30 grand. Like they knew they were onto them, but Runyon and Kaminsky, these guys are just fucking, they live in life on the edge. Now they're looking at a year. A grand jury has indicted Runyon and Kaminsky on charges of cheating, attempted grand theft, and possessing criminal tools, Ed. That's
criminal tools are weights. I mean, I would think if you had like a machete.
Yeah.
But criminal tools, I mean,
depends on the crime.
They're not illegal in places.
That's true. They're illegal when they're inside of a Lake Erie walleye, Ed, that's being weighed.
You know when they can also be illegal? when they're attached to scales in Okinawa when you're weighing fruit.
Fucking carrots.
Chosen.
Carrots. Chosen. Chosen was fucking the villagers out of.
He really was. And like, how much extra money? Like, those carrots actually cost 50 cents.
Yeah. You ever go to a farmer's market and you're like, hey, I want to get these, this broccoli here. And they're like, yeah, that'll be 19 cents. Like how, like, I'm always like, how do these people make money? Like, everything's so cheap. And then this Chosen.
Never understand that.
Yeah. This Chosen's trying to add like 4 or 5 cents to every fucking bushel. Like, what a piece of shit. And you can tell by his shirt, he's got money.
The shit is Danielson.
Yeah.
I mean, all he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Chosen's just trying to make a little bit, a few more cents.
That's true. He's just living on Okinawa, you know? It's fucking tough life. A
couple more millionths of a yen.
Yes.
That's all he wants.
Could help him out.
And fucking, and then this kid from the valley shows up and he's just fucking it up, taking his girl.
Yeah. Reseda by way of Jersey. What a piece of shit. Well, these guys, Ed, these guys are looking at serious time. The charges are fifth degree felonies, meaning they could each bring a punishment of up to 12 months in prison and $2,500 in fine. Well, they got that in that boat that they won. Oh, they seized the boat. Authorities
they're treated like oligarchs.
Yes.
They're getting their boat seized.
Yes. These guys. And also I read, right here. The anglers also face a misdemeanor count of unlawful ownership of wild animals, a charge related to raw fish fillets they allegedly had on their boat. So those are the ones when the guy's like, we got weights in the fish. And then he cut it open and the weights came out. There were also.
Wait, what did the guy keep shouting?
He's like. Oh, shit.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. It was like a bunch of fuck yeahs. It was all sorts of fuck yeahs. Okay, my computer. This could be an issue. Oh, no, it's back. My computer died, but now it's back. What else, Ed?
So college football on Saturday was awesome. There were all kinds of big matchups and upsets. Yeah. And the big one was Tennessee versus Bama.
Yes.
And Bama missed a field goal with 15 seconds.
Love it.
And then Tennessee was able to drive and kick a winning field goal in that 15 seconds. And the fans stormed the field and it looked awesome. And this was the first time they beat Bama in 15 years, I think.
Yep.
And they tore down the goalposts. And it was, you know, tradition of you know, any big college football upset, you see stuff like that.
Love it.
Then they chucked the goalposts in the Tennessee River. And the one thing we see in the after effect, the after shock, is the athletic director of Tennessee is asking fans for a GoFundMe goalpost donation.
Stop it. Shut the fuck up.
SEC money. SEC money.
I know. Shut the fuck up. You get one big,
all the money.
Reach out to one of your big donors. Like, they got to have a big, you know, somebody, Alan Jackson or something.
TV budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Absolutely. Like you said, there are donors that'll do this, but your athletic budget is out of control.
Yeah.
At this point.
No, you're in the SEC. See, this is one of those things that it's always a lesser of two evils. Like, of course you want Tennessee to beat Alabama, but at the same time, you never want to be happy for Tennessee. It's a hard position to be in. Every time I get so nervous when I see these goalposts coming down. First of all, how do they do it? They just put so much weight behind it.
Yeah. There's just multiple people on it.
Yeah. It's just bodies that make it come down. But then how do they not?
It looked really cool though.
It did. But how do they not accidentally crack someone in the head with a corner of it or the end?
I am certain. I don't know if I've read a story, but I'm certain some people have gotten
been injured
at the very least concussed by a goalpost.
For sure. I could see it happening. Yeah. Nobody should give any money to this. These people should be shamed. The victory was in the win. It's the least they could do to pay to replace a goalpost. And I heard it's like 15 grand or something. It's not even like real money.
Yeah. It's just metal.
Yeah. It's all it is. It's look, they throw these up at high schools every fucking week.
Yeah, I played at one high school and I remember it was like duct tape and PVC pipe.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
They just made the H.
Yeah,
it was really sad.
Yeah, that is really sad. They weren't even the real ones. How about when football, they used to have the goalpost on the goal line? Who thought that was a good idea?
I mean, it was like into the late 70s, yeah. I think.
What were they thinking?
Getting knocked out.
Yes, that's crazy.
Hey, every time somebody does a post route, they're getting knocked out. Yeah. Maybe we should try something else.
You'd have to bring it into the, like, you'd have to use it as strategy to try to run your guy into it to get open.
Yeah, I guess you're setting a pick.
Yeah, use it to set a pick.
The Bills, Jordan Poyer traveled to the Chiefs game from Buffalo by 15-hour van trip with his family because he wasn't cleared to fly due to his rib injury, but then he played the whole game.
Look, there's a couple different ways you can go on this, but I just say, like, how about no? Like, if your employer asks you to come to work with a sniffle, much less a punctured lung, just everybody say it with me. No. Oh, by the way, you're going to need to drive through 4 states to do it. Here's your answer. No.
Well, even if he wanted to play, and even if he's amenable to this solution, he went in a 15-hour trip with his family.
His kids.
No fucking way.
His kids in the car.
Oh, my God.
Ed, everyone knows I'm a huge Bills fan, and I'm glad we went to KC and got it done. But you can't tell me the backup with 2 functioning lungs wasn't a better option than Jordan with 1 lung and a seized lower back and a stiff neck and a headache from being in a car for 15 hours. This is crazy.
Yeah, being in a car for 15 hours is not healthy, right? There's blood clot situation. Yes. It's not good.
It's awful. And this is worse than what they did to Tua, Ed. We're like, where is Bryant Gumbel to very eloquently all over the Players Association because they're an abject failure. Like, this is like, why did anybody think this is a good idea? Fuck this.
Every snap on defense.
No. With 1 lung.
And he's not cleared to fly.
I know.
That's not good.
He's, and everyone's like, probably like, oh, this guy's a gamer. That's fucking bullshit. He didn't want to lose his job. Like, let him be a gamer when he has 2 functioning lungs. Go Bills, though.
Yeah, go Bills.
Big Bills fan over here.
This is hopeful. People are, the buzzards are circling Daniel Snyder in D.C. But he's lashing out, and he's letting it be known he has dirt on Goodell and other owners if they try to get him out.
No, I'm loving this, Ed.
This is good for everybody.
I'm loving this.
It still won't be good for Snyder, but it could be bad for all kinds of bad dudes.
This is what we need. You know, Ed, there used to be like 6-year-old meat packers, but then Upton Sinclair wrote The Jungle and that ended. Right. Like, this is the time. Like, let these cunts fight it out and then we'll get rid of all of them.
How great is this? Just before we started the show, Bob Irsay, who's had his share of problems.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I think we need to look into removing him.
Yes.
And I think we can get the votes. If Bob Irsay, who has definitely done cocaine on top of hookers in front of cops.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he the one with the bedazzled jeans that got suspended? Yes.
Yes. So if he's saying, yeah, I think we have enough guys to get him out, it's giving me hope because, you know what's not giving me hope? Carson Wentz.
No. Oh, no.
Like, Dan Snyder possibly getting booted could be the lifeline.
Oh, I would love to see it. I would love to see it. And it's, look, these idiots think that they can take it to each other. They're like, oh, I'll show them. We can get rid of both of them. Like, you get rid of Goodell, you get rid of Dan Snyder, all of the above, done. Can't wait. This is, we need this.
In a debate this weekend, Herschel Walker flashed a seemingly bogus police badge.
Well, I mean, what is the point in having one of those if you can't flash it at a debate, right, Ed?
Like, is that a female body inspector?
Right. It's like, well, I remember Ronnie the limo driver used to brag to Howard about all his badges. And when he'd get pulled over,
cop buddies.
Yeah. He'd get out his badges and that would get him out of shit. We have something here in Southern California. And it's like just such blatant. I can't imagine it works because it is such blatant bribery. There's something where you can contribute to the cops as if the
I've done that in the past with the police athletic league stuff like that.
Yeah, it's
I've done that, and I just decided I couldn't anymore.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Because and that's why they do it, because the thing you get when it's called the 1199 Foundation, and it's like, oh, I donate to the cops, and the thing they give you. They don't give you a badge or a fucking cap or a belt buckle. What they give you is a license plate frame.
Oh, for me, I just had like a sticker on my car, right. Like that in the back window. And I did it for a while, but I just don't drive enough.
Right.
So I'm going to donate money so I can go 20 miles an hour in Hoboken.
Potentially not get a ticket for rolling a stop sign. So it's. Look, it's bullshit, but if you got it, like, get it out. Like, when is a better time to get out your fake badge than at a televised debate where you can go, hey, look, I am not a real cop, but here I can pretend to be one at a debate.
And he sounds great.
he's the best.
Like he's really exceeding expectations.
He's the best. The guy, look, he ran headfirst into a lot of linebackers, both at Georgia and in the USFL.
A lot of carries.
Yeah.
A lot
also, of carries. He was returning those punts. I saw him not waving for a fair catch very often for the Minnesota Vikings. Like he took a lot of head punishment. Also, his head is like the size of a helmet. He was like OJ, where they had to get like a bigger helmet.
He's still jacked.
Oh, yeah. The dude is fit.
He's huge. Oh, speaking of super athletes, I'm excited for. Friend of the show, Jeff Perlman's next book about the legend of Bo Jackson.
Oh, my fucking God.
I have a feeling that would be great because just the recruiting stories around a guy like that.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
You know, he's supposedly like a fucking great archer. Like he's like a bow hunter. Like he's like extra good at that.
I believe it. I mean, the dude was elite at two. Very difficult sports.
Yeah, just
elite.
He's just like the fucking greatest ever. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's and like we were kind of like jaded into it. When you look back, you go, holy fuck, how was that real? And at the time, it's like, oh, yeah, he just, you know, he runs over guys for the Raiders. And then the next week he's in spring training with the Royals. No big deal.
I mean, it's the way people are being jaded right now with Ohtani.
Yeah.
Because he plays for a shitty team.
Yeah. The shittiest.
What he's doing is crazy.
No, when Ohtani eventually gets to the major leagues, people are going to freak out. It's good.
He's in the top 10 in both.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The home runs and strikeouts.
Yeah.
Like a crazy thing. ESPN's Jeff Passan. Is that how you pronounce it?
Passan.
I've only read it as
I know. It's one of those names.
He was forced to apologize for, quote, crossing the line with a tweet directed at Justin Verlander's brother. Verlander tried to make fun of Passan for being 5'9", and then Passan fired back, when you're talking about Shohei, you're usually on your knees, though, right?
First of all,
I guess Verlander's brother is an analyst.
That's another thing. So first of all, there's no way Passan's actually 5'9". I've seen him on like the ESPN, like when they're at the game and they're all you know, sitting on the fake set, like in the outfield. I've seen his feet dangling, but Passan's got to be stoked because Verlander was being extra compassionate by not mentioning Jeff Passan's face. Like, That's his real shortcoming. Like the guy is not a handsome guy, and he's got those ears and everything.
He's a pretty good reporter, right?
He's great. But he's also, I think he went to Berkeley
So he's one of those guys that's like real smart. And if you're concerned that he's not that smart, just he'll tell you in a second how smart he is. But my bigger issue is why is there a Verlander's brother that we're dealing with? You know, I was watching the game a couple nights ago, Sunday night football. And first of all, because I have CTE, I couldn't remember Tony Dungy's name. I was looking at him. I'm like,
there's that kind of for the best.
Yeah. I'm like, yes. I'm like, there's that guy he's come down from his perch atop a very tall building to tell us about football tonight. But the
Ghostbusters building.
Yeah. Then I look over and who's sitting next to him? It's that fucking asshole, Chris Sims. Why does there need to be a Chris Sims? Yes. Yeah.
His head is there. I mean, I've got a giant head, but his head has weird dimensions and is huge.
Yeah. And he's real pasty and his dad's real weird looking. And look, he was a good quarterback for the Giants, but just like in the edge of good.
He was not. Time.
He had who was the running back?
Joe Morris.
Like that's back when they ran the football. Like, if you look at Troy Aikman won 3 Super Bowls. He's a Hall of Famer. You look at his numbers compared to like any guy these days. It's just not even
right.
You're like, why is he in the Hall of Fame? He's threw it 18 times a game.
That's true.
It's a different game. My point is the nepotism. Like, why is there a Verlander's brother hanging around? I don't need that. Who wants to hear from Verlander's brother? Hey, what's Clayton Kershaw's nephew got to say? Jackson Mahomes. Like, there's too much of this. Let's have some real people. Let's have some real people. Like, I don't need Tony Soprano's real son playing Tony Soprano in a movie. Get some other kid that kind of looks like him.
Hey, how about Mad Men? Glenn, the creator's son.
Glenn!
Gave me nightmares.
He was so creepy, though. Like, who could have been better?
I guess he was supposed to be creepy.
Yes.
I have a feeling Matthew Weiner didn't think that's how creepy the character would be, but that's his son.
Matthew Jr., I don't know why everyone thinks you're creepy. Hey, I don't know why you're not allowed to spend the night at any of your friends' houses and their moms are all sketched out by you. It's probably because they're jealous of your fame. Your fame.
Has nothing to do with you keeping locks of their hair.
Yes, he was. Look, passing. It's hard for me to side with passing unless the other guy is Justin Verlander's brother. Like, why do I don't even know why I need to know who that guy exists. No, thank you. Okay, let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring. And worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His faults are useless, shit. He's fat and got big tits.
He's been well in Gardenia. Couple quick voicemails to get to.
Ed, Brian, Mateo calling back in.
Mateo, who we lost last week.
This episode, and I am so sorry that my phone screwed up when I was calling in last week. Brian, you were right. It was a Bluetooth issue. It started connecting to my earpods.
Yep.
I'm out walking my dog outside, and that shit just kicked in. So, hey, I apologize.
Happens to me in my car. Somebody was calling me in my car yesterday, and I was trying to answer. Oh, it was the fucking doctor's office, the urgent care.
Oh.
Can we calm down about the fucking COVID freak out, everybody? I go in the urgent care and they're like, you haven't been here in a few years. And I'm like, yeah, it's because I'm fucking superhuman. And they're like, so you got to refill out the paperwork. First of all, this fucking doctor's office paperwork. Like, I'm lucky to still have a thumb.
You might be there for 20 minutes before you can even talk to anybody.
Yeah. So they go, yeah. And they're like, because of the regulations or whatever, they're like, can you go out into your car and fill this out? And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, your car. And I'm like, okay. So I go outside and then they're calling me and it's like, I can't miss it, but it's like between my AirPods and my car. Like, they're both trying to answer it, and I'm just yelling, huh? Yeah, it's me. Hello? We got to figure this out. This is a major, major problem. We got to figure this Bluetooth shit out.
Yeah, it's very 1996 performing technology.
Look, this Mateo, great caller, Findlay, Ohio, went to Notre Dame. He had some shit to tell us, and we can't hear what he's got to say because of Bluetooth. He's out on a dog walk, starts connecting somewhere else. It's horrible.
It stinks.
There's also been some times where I think that my I've been connected to like the Bluetooth speaker downstairs, and maybe I'm putting on something that's like not. Maybe I'm looking at something on my phone that's like, you know, maybe I don't want the sound to be heard on a different level
Lexington
of this house.
Steel.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. Mateo, you're back.
Couple of things. First thing, what I was going to say last week is about the fishing competition and the weights and the fish up in Port Clinton, Ohio.
Can't get enough of this, by the way. I can't get enough.
I really am into it.
Yeah. I love like cheating. Like, just like these guys were fucking going nuts to catch the biggest walleye. And it sounds
I mean, they pulled it off for a while, but why double the weight of what you would need?
Insane.
That's just greed.
As my buddy Matt, hubris. My buddy Matt messaged me. He's the greatest fisherman I know. He goes, every tournament director I've ever known can tell by sight within a few ounces how much a fish weighs. So, and these guys were almost 8 pounds over on their catch. Not to mention the old fish that they submitted in those other tournaments. Unbelievable. The hubris. Throw the fucking book at them.
Yeah.
I'm not too far from Port Clinton. I'm sitting here in northwestern Ohio, about an hour away from Lake Erie. Those dudes are serious about their fishing. The walleye, I'm not a fisherman, but I know it's a fun fish to catch. Not especially tasty.
Sounds
the
disgusting.
Lake Erie perch is much better. Yep. If you ever get a chance, Lake Perch kicks ass.
Interesting.
But I'll tell you what, those fishermen are nuts. Second thing, the guy that called in this week just totally ripping on the Michigan fans, basically saying they were scum of the earth.
That's David in Salt Lake out of nowhere. David in Salt Lake for work just came out of nowhere to harass Michiganders. Michigan
but not just
fans.
That. We took shrapnel.
Yeah, state schools.
He started shitting on state schools.
The best schools in the country are state schools.
Come on.
Of course.
He's a little far off. I'm not going to sit here and defend Michigan fans.
No, of course not.
I'm a Notre Dame guy, but I'm living here in Ohio, so I am surrounded by nothing but Buckeye fans. I can tell you firsthand.
Worst.
They, my friend, are the worst of all fans in college football.
Yep.
I've been to a bunch of different away games across the nation down south. I've seen Notre Dame get their ass kicked 3 or 4 times up in the Big House in Ann Arbor.
Of course.
Never had a problem. The fans were gracious. There's no way in hell I'm going to Columbus on game day when they're playing Notre Dame.
Wow.
They opened the season earlier this year. I could have had tickets. No way I'm going to Columbus and wearing my Notre Dame gear around those people. Worst fans ever.
Yes.
That's all I got, gentlemen. Keep up the good work. Yeah. Take care.
Well, I mean, people go to Michigan for the education, right?
Yeah.
But that's kind of the difference.
It's a great school.
Yeah, that's kind of the difference. Also, I just learned this.
They're super douchey, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a great school.
Yeah, Iggy Pop went there. Also, I just learned this recently. The Buckeye is like a nut. It's like a fucking thing that falls off a tree.
Yeah, that's what the sticker. Yeah. It's the Buckeye.
Yeah, the fucking football team isn't named after something you got to rake up?
I, I can't stand Ohio State or the Buckeyes.
Yeah.
But I, and maybe I'm conditioned because I support a turtle.
That's great. That's a great mascot.
But I like non Wildcats, Eagles. Like I like weird mascots.
Sure.
It's just Ohio State I don't like. But
no.
I can support something weird for a mascot.
Yeah. Sure. But not a nut. Not something that from a shrub. No, thank you. But yeah, I mean, a gopher? Come on. Let's yeah. like look, a right. wildcat is stupid. A fucking bulldog also kind of stupid. A nut? No. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm just yeah. arguing on behalf of the sure. terrapins and gophers of the world.
I love that kind of shit.
I like weird stuff.
Yeah. Hey, look, I loved Prospector Pete. We got fucked out sure. of here. You know? He's got now we're the sharks.
Hey guys, how you doing? This is Lowly State School, Mark the Nomad calling to respond to that dumb bitch in Utah.
See, this is David. This is what you invited.
Yeah, you're asking for a Michigan fan this, to
yeah.
peacock.
Also, I got a report. Mark the Nomad here. He messaged me last week, and he's like, "Hey, I'm near you. Do you want to get a beer?" And I'm like, "When?" And he's like, "Tomorrow." And I'm like, "Oh, like, how am I supposed to plan that? Like, did you give me like 9.5 hours notice?"
Like, I got that from somebody.
Yeah.
I think our friend Ryan.
Airstrike. Oh, no. Ryan Azonka Cruz.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was in New York. Well, he's and he's like, I was like, "Hey, I'll get a beer." And he was like, "Well, it's got to be tomorrow."
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be. No, this Pete Schlitzky tried to pull the shit with me too.
I'm happy to get beers yeah. with our listeners.
I need at least 4 days notice.
I need time.
Yeah, but 4 to 5 days notice. I got people to account for here. Okay, here's Mark defending Michigan.
Listen, Dave, I get that there's two things probably going on here. Number one, Michigan has the largest alumni network in the country.
Oh,
don't take
Jesus,
out your yeah. fucking Michigan grad boss anger on me because you didn't get the promotion from low to middle management.
Hey, that's funny.
Okay? Number two, you live in Salt Lake City.
That's a
so you're
good
probably
point.
Very frustrated that your seven wives wow. don't let you do more than soaking on the weekend.
Ed, I'm only recently familiar with soaking. Do you know what that is?
Does it have anything to do with the magic underwear?
Sort of. It's like, you know how, like, I won't limit it to just one religion, but like super religious people,
mm-hmm.
they'll often offer the butt first so they can remain a yeah. virgin.
Right. I saw some porns with that.
Yes. Yeah. I know. I see that too. So there's also they also do a thing called soaking, which I guess doesn't count. Where that's where I think they just like it's kind of like a just the tip thing, where you can you can put it in there, but you can there's not allowed
you're spraying
to be
it. You're spraying it outdoors,
right? Well, no, not even that. No, much less than that because that's what I do. It's you could put it in there, but you're not allowed to move the hips at all. There's no thrusting allowed. So you haven't violated God's law. Because you're just soaking it in there.
Which kind of like the sex show I saw in Amsterdam. The guy's doing push-ups.
Yeah, I saw that shit
too.
There
was no hip movement. He was just doing push-ups. It's weird.
In my sex show, the guy was like kind of, well, I don't race indeterminate, but he had a big upwards curve, much like Mark Wallace, the ponytailed porno guy that we talked about before. A big upward curve. And I'm like, oh, this chick cannot be dealing with, like, because they do several shows a night. And he was definitely yagred up because he came out and that thing was ready to go. And then he threw a few push-ups down and they're like, ta-da. And I'm like, oh, they do that 4 times a night. She cannot be enjoying that hook every single time the whole night. It's just a lot. It's just a weird angles. Anyway, back to Mark.
So do me a favor and shut the fuck up. The reason
Mark?
Why we're arrogant is because we've earned it.
You have?
No.
My Michigan degree.
No.
Didn't they share a national title in 1990?
They beat Ohio State last year, yeah. And you would think that they won everything.
Yeah.
See. They beat Ohio State and then got the doors blown off them by Georgia.
Right. Oh, yeah, right, because they went to that Final Four thing. I remember that.
Look, yeah, and you shared a national title. I mean, yeah, no. The problem was he attacked all state schools.
Yes.
And if you want to argue Michigan is a good academic institution, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But you cannot argue that your fans aren't arrogant and don't say we've earned it. You haven't earned shit.
Oh, there you go, Mark. Let's take it from an expert. I'm with Ed here.
Means that I'm better than you. So even if Michigan loses a fucking football game, that means we're on even playing ground.
What?
If we win, just remind you of what you already know deep down in that dumb bitch soul of yours. We're better than you. Go blue, bitch. Oh,
wow.
I mean, keep in mind, yes, they beat the Terps by 7 and the Terps handed the opening kickoff, which led to a touchdown. Yeah. They just bounced off the guy's face mask. So, Michigan, calm down.
I know. Yeah.
Calm down. They're
real excited to be Michigan. And look, can't take that away from them. Okay, here's one more.
Until they get destroyed by Ohio State.
That's coming. But that's I'll root for Michigan in that. But then
I will, but they're going to get destroyed this year.
If you're like, hey, I'm so great, it makes it hard for me to root to you against that school that's a nut. You know, like I want to root for you there. You have way better uniforms than them. But then when you're like, look how big our stadium is, you know, it's like, okay, right. Like it makes it harder.
Ed, hey, Brian. Hey, ballers.
Oh, so, it's Stu.
I get it. You know, I totally get it. Well, first of all, I don't want to talk about the 12 thing. That's fucking insane.
Oh, yeah, the Seahawks.
But I know why people hate the Seahawks, because right now they have a guy on the squad named Michael. Hold on. Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember Michael Dyson?
Michael Dyson, the professor?
No, there was a Michael Dyson who was a receiver. Hold on. We got to Google this. Hold on to see if you might have to Google this for me. Google Michael Dyson, Cleveland Browns. Was it Michael Dyson? Browns.
Michael Dyson Browns? Yeah, football player.
See, he was called. Oh, he's dead. R.I.P. Michael Dyson. Jeez. But for a while, he was called Michael Dyson. And then he changed his name to Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah, it says Michael Jackson when I Googled Michael Dyson.
Yes, there was a Michael Dyson who played for the Cleveland Browns and apparently the Ravens when they moved.
Do you think Conrad Murray helped him sleep?
Oh, maybe that's it.
He's like, hey, rules are rules. I have a contract to help Mike.
They knocked on the door.
Jackson sleep.
Yeah, you know. Oh, my God. Maybe Ed. He was also a graduate of the University of Southern Mississippi. Maybe he was felled.
Motorcycle accident.
Oh, I was going to say, maybe he was felled by the plot to build a volleyball stadium at the University of Southern Mississippi for his buddy, Brett Favre. So my point is this is not the first Michael Jackson we've had.
Wow.
There have been other Michael Jacksons, which makes sense, in the NFL. I'll let Stu continue.
Say Michael Jackson, but that's not the one that's boggling my mind, as you can tell. They also have a cat named Kobe Bryant.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so there's a Kobe Bryant and a fucking Michael Jackson on the Seahawks right
now.
Shut up. So I don't know what the world is coming to, but you know, here we are.
It is kind of,
have Geno, who's doing way better than great. I thought.
Geno,
he was just a whiny bitch in New York, but he looks pretty solid out there.
He was also a backup on the Chargers for a while, and also he spells it, his name's Geno, and he does not look Italian to me, and he spells it G-E-N-O. And he's got a small penis, and that's when he got that DUI. Yeah. He was
and you heard it right from the horse's mouth. He's the one who spread that rumor.
Well, it's got to be tough. It might even be just like a regular size penis, but we in this country, there are stereotypes, and sometimes those stereotypes
hurt the people that are affected by those stereotypes. That's why we got to try not to do it. And a guy like Geno Smith, he's stereotyped into everybody thinking he's going to look like Vasante Shenko. And when he ends up looking like Brett Favre, you know, that's a stereotype that he's got to live with. And much like other things, he's wasted behind the wheel. It comes out, you know, he's the real truth. He's had some liquid courage.
What was the hog I saw last week that was,
Santonio Holmes.
Oh, Santonio. Oh my God.
Yeah, Santonio Holmes. Oh. I show my girlfriend that picture and she clutched her chest.
Yeah, I mean it's staggering.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. It's a lot, old Santonio.
It's a lot.
Okay, thank you for all those voicemails. Quick email. Ballers. Last week you talked about the new Dahmer Netflix show. I couldn't get through the first 20 minutes. It's so slow.
I've watched two, yeah. And it just creeps me out. Creepy. Yeah, it the is
smell.
Slow.
But, smell.
Oh, yeah. God.
As Brian likes to point out, my home state of Ohio seems to be the number one birthplace of serial killers. That's actually Ed. That was brought to my attention by Ed. That is not my knowledge. That's Ed's knowledge. I actually had a professor in college who was from Cleveland and who was childhood friends with Dahmer. So they did some gerbil murdering together. So I ask you, what's the bigger red flag here, that he was friends with Dahmer or that he's managed to make sure everyone who knows him knows he was friends with Dahmer?
Yes.
That's from Andy and Indy.
The latter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you? I would never want people to know I was hanging out with Dahmer.
Yeah. I actually have a story. It's not quite this close to this, but sort of close. Around, this was like 93. So I'm guessing he was in the news probably because he was being sentenced, Dahmer. And it was just a thing that people were talking about in 1993. And I was working at like this little Japanese takeout place. I was working the counter. And I was working the counter with this other girl. And I don't remember how it came up. But Dahmer came up and she's like, you know, she goes, I'm from Milwaukee. And I'm like, oh yeah, right. And she goes, I actually know Jeffrey Dahmer.
What?
And I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah. She goes, me, and she was kind of like a punk. She's like, me and my friends all used to hang out in this park downtown. And he lived near the park or something. So he would always be walking through the park. And she's like, and whenever we asked him, he would buy us beer.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what? Like, was he weird? Like, she's like, no, she's like, he's a nice guy. She's like, he was just Jeff. Just Jeff. Right.
I thought you were going to say you were working at the restaurant and like Dennis Rader was the working the fries.
Amazing. That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. Hey, Brian, can you help me tie this knot? Never mind. You know, I know how to do it. By the way, your lawn, I noticed it's 8 millimeters too high.
Yeah, I measured. I took the time. I was in the middle of combing my mustache when I noticed your lawn was an eighth of an inch.
All-time favorite. You see, there were many before him that bound and killed.
No.
And there were some that tortured and killed. He was the first to come. He was an innovator. He bound, then he tortured, then he killed.
I don't know why I love him as a serial killer the most.
I know. He's terrifying. There was that one, his daughter like wrote an article a few years ago about what it was like to be the child of a serial killer. Like they couldn't, because most of the time they don't have kids.
Not
you know?
Great.
No. Not the best childhood.
Hey, where's dad? Oh.
Is he on that scout trip? Remember he would take the scouts camp. Oh, you probably told me this.
Yeah.
He would take the scouts camping and then bounce in the middle of the night to do a bind, torture, kill and come back.
Yes. So he had witnesses.
Yeah, he had an alibi. Wow.
He's like, hey, Billy, keep working on that knot. I'll be right back in a sec. I'm going to go bind and torture someone.
At least he put in an effort. Our guy, Ricky Rams, Richard Ramirez, he would do a murder, And then he would go to the Cecil Hotel in downtown LA after doing his murdering. He'd pull up in his Toyota Corolla, park in the alley, strip down naked, throw his bloody clothes in the dumpster, and then just walk to his room completely nude, and no one thought anything was weird about it. Oh, that's it's just Rick. Lives on the third floor.
Richie Rands. Yes. Killed a man named Peter Pan.
Yes. Did he really?
Yeah, he was Asian, but he killed a guy named Peter Pan.
Yeah, and he would, you know, so don't. I wouldn't suggest anybody read the Richard Ramirez Wikipedia page.
He raped like old ladies.
Yeah, he disemboweled. He did it all. He was, you know, he was dropped on his head a lot as a child. Okay, let's do some non-sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports. Non-sports segment. On the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. 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 I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports. Non-sports. Non-sports segment.
And what is going on in the world of sports?
R.I.P. to a handful of people.
Yes.
First, RIP to iconic advertising executive Dan Wyden of Just Do It fame. Wyden and Kennedy, a massive part of Nike success. He was 77.
A buddy of mine, former buddy of mine that worked in advertising, once delivered a pizza to Dan Wyden with his portfolio in the pizza because it was just... any chance you got to work with this agency, you would try to do it. He was such a fucking rock star. Still,
it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And Michelle said she'd never talked to him directly, but she knows lots of people who knew him and said he was a sweetheart of a guy. Yeah. Like, really nice.
Yeah, it's a real icon in that industry.
RIP, if you know this guy, you know him, but RIP Mike Shank, breakout star of the movie American Movie. He was 56. Now, American Movie was like a documentary that was kind of funny. It was about making, it was like the independent movie thing was kicking off 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And this guy made a document. There was a documentary made about a guy trying to make a horror movie. In like Milwaukee.
Yes. I mean, I saw that he died and I'm like, where do I know that guy? I must have seen the movie or seen part of it.
Hilarious. Yeah. It was just it was like real life Beavis and Butthead trying to make a horror movie. And there was one scene where this guy, they were trying to smash his head with a kitchen cabinet door.
Yeah.
But they didn't make it like already pre-broken.
Yeah. So they're just smacking him in the head.
And they're just concussing this guy. But it was like, it was a funny movie about like dimwits in Milwaukee trying to make a horror movie. It's called American Movie. It's awesome.
Now I'm going to have to watch it. RIP.
But RIP, 56. RIP, Robbie Coltrane, most famous for playing Hagrid in the Harry Potter movies. He was only 72.
That's crazy. Now what?
That's crazy.
What do I know him from?
You know, so there was a movie called Nuns on the Run.
Yes.
Where he was in that. He was funny in a lot of stuff. He played a big Russian guy in a couple of the Brosnan Bonds.
Yeah.
But my favorite role, I don't think he had a line, but he was the guy brushing his teeth in the bathroom in European Vacation when Ellen Griswold was in the bathtub.
Right. Yes.
And he's just a big, jolly British comedian.
Yeah, no, he
comedic
was
actor.
Yeah, you were. He was very recognizable character actor. 72.
Yeah, he did not seem. European Vacation was probably 35 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't have guessed that guy's in his 30s.
No, that is kind of crazy. That is. You would have thought he was like in his late 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the big one of the week, RIP Angela Lansbury, 96. She played Elvis's mom in 1961.
That's right. Did anybody questioned the Shifty Gardner or Robert Culp, the guest star playing the traveling salesman or possibly the innkeeper?
I mean, Cabot Cove was a small town. Was it supposed to be Maine?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Small town in Maine.
So many murders.
That show lasted like 10 years.
Yeah. So, and somebody got killed every week.
Like 200 plus murders in a small Maine town. And the only common link is the writer in town.
Right. Also, had no idea she was British. I'll be honest. Didn't know that. I should have known that, but I didn't know that.
No, she just had like one of those weird, specific to her accents.
Yes. And didn't you tell us that when she played Elvis's mom in Blue Hawaii or Viva Las Vegas, that she was like four years older.
Yes. 1961. Yeah. I mean, she couldn't have been much older than him. Yeah. Elvis. I mean, think about it. She's 96.
Yeah.
Elvis, I believe, was born in 37.
Yeah.
Not a big difference.
Right.
No, I think 32 Elvis was born.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, R.I.P. She had a nice long run, I'll be honest.
She had a nice long run.
They didn't realize she was still alive, but that doesn't make it any less sad that she died.
No. Yeah. But we'll stay with Angela Lansbury. Our first story, some stories leaked out. She once rescued her daughter from Charles Manson. Speaking of serial killers-ish.
Yes.
Her daughter... I think teenage son and daughter were getting into the drug scene in the 60s in California.
Yep.
And Charles Manson was picking up her daughter from like middle school and high school.
Shut up.
Giving her heroin. She quit Hollywood.
Yeah.
And moved to the UK for like a year to get her things away from Manson.
Yeah.
And it was Charles Manson.
Wow. That is crazy. It's
her
also
daughter now is 69.
It's also crazy that your daughter would be being shuttled around by an adult man and being given heroin. Like where was Mr. Lansbury? Like what the fuck were you guys doing that an actual cult leader?
This was around the time that she was in Hawaii playing Elvis's mom.
Yeah.
And Mr. Lansbury should have been there.
Yeah. Yeah. Where
the shows.
Yeah. Somebody's got to stay home with the kids.
Dads can be a little bit suspect.
Right. I didn't know until you probably already know this. I didn't know until recently that Doris Day was somewhat responsible for the Sharon Tate catching the.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. So Doris Day's son was a big record producer, and he was one of the guys, I can't remember his name, he was one of the guys that was working with Dennis Wilson, and they became friendly with Charles Manson, and he was like, mom, he's like, this fucking guy, I don't know, this Charlie guy, like, I don't think I want to put out his record, and he keeps coming by the house and he just gives me the creeps. And she's like, you got to move. So Doris Day owned that Cielo Drive house, and her son moved out and rented it to Polanski, thinking that would keep him safe. So they showed up probably to murder him and got the people that were there.
And Sharon Tate.
I know. Got it. What a piece of ass. Isn't it? Always a little more sad when a beautiful woman gets murdered. I got it. You know?
It shouldn't.
Right.
But it is.
Right. It's just kind of like, you know, it's sad when anybody gets killed, but if you're hot, it's a little bit sadder. That's all.
Yeah, it's just like 20% sadder.
Yeah.
Not hot. James Corden.
Yeah.
He this weekend berated a waiter at Balthazar in New York City and got banned from the restaurant. The owner called him a terror. And I can just speak to Balthazar. Good, like lives up to its reputation.
Yep.
Good, like brunch place. It's a good spot.
Right. This guy, Keith McNall, he's like a well-known, like he's had many restaurants. Like he's like an old school, like New York restaurateur. Like he's not just randomly picking celebrities to ban from his restaurant.
You wouldn't want this, of course, because you want celebrities hype in your place. Yes. You want them posting on Instagram. That's good for you. And he's taking a shot at a late night host.
So I'll gleefully read the
Instagram posts that this Keith McNall made.
I like it. He posted like a headshot of the double chin.
Yeah, no, it's celebrity. It's great. And you could tell he's troubled by this, but he does that thing where he immediately starts with a huge lie about the person to make it seem like he doesn't hate them.
Yeah.
James Corden is a hugely gifted comedian.
Right. That's already a blatant lie.
Huge lie.
Because everyone hates his guts based on his talent.
Totally. But a tiny cretin of a man and the most abusive customer to my Balthazar servers since the restaurant opened 25 years ago. I don't often 86 a customer. Up until today. Oh, till today, I 86'd Corden. It did not make me laugh. Here are two examples of the funny man's treatment of my staff. He behaviored similarly in my former restaurant, Cafe Luxembourg, a few years back. Hold on, I got a cough. Hit the cough button. Managers report one. This is remnants of my sinus infection / multiple pink eyes. In June, James Corden was here at table 61. Although this is diabolical, it happens very occasionally in all restaurants. I got to cough again. Cough button.
While you're coughing.
Yes.
You want to know the origin of 86ing a customer?
I've heard it before, but I forget. Please refresh my memory.
In the West Village, there's this former speakeasy that a lot of famous writers used to go to called Chumley's, and it's located at 86 Bedford Street. So that's why.
Wow. But I love that.
The problem is it used to be a cool old speakeasy bar, had a good burger.
Yeah, now it's douchey. And
then they rebranded it, and it's a real bougie burger for like $35.
I hate that shit.
And it tastes like it costs $35. Yeah. Like, it doesn't taste like a good burger. Yeah. It tastes like there's something too much to it.
Yeah, it's over-engineered.
It was a real bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was closed for a little while. Yeah. And then my buddy and I went there, and I was like, this is not for me anymore. And it's sad.
You
know something that's kind of like there are no signs out front.
Yep.
And now it's become like a cool thing with no signs out front.
Everybody found out about it, and now it sucks.
Sucks.
After eating his main course, Corden showed a hair to Balthazar manager G, who was very apologetic. After eating his food. Corden was extremely nasty to G and said, "Get us another round of drinks this second, and also take care of all of our drinks so far. This way, I write any nasty reviews in Yelp or anything like that." I think he meant I won't write any nasty reviews. Okay, there's more. James Corden was at Balthazar with his wife on October 9th for brunch. He asked for a table outside. Brunch maitre D, Allie Walters, took the party to table 301. Mr. Corden's wife. Now, I don't know why there's not quotes around wife or the little emoji of a guy with a beard. Yeah. Mr. Corden's wife ordered an egg yolk omelet with Gruyere cheese and salad. A few minutes late, after they received the food, James called their server, MK, and told her there was a little bit of egg white mixed in with the egg yolk. MK informed the floor manager, G. There's G again. The kitchen remade the dish, but unfortunately sent it with home fries instead of salad. Well, that's because it was breakfast.
You're going to have a fucking salad with breakfast?
No. Animal. That's a fucking
and
lunch item.
I can
item.
Tell you, yeah. James Corden's not eating egg whites and salad too much.
No, that's true. That's when James Corden began yelling like crazy to the server. "You can't do your job. You can't do your job. Maybe I should go into the kitchen and cook the omelet myself." MK was very apologetic and brought G over to the table. He returned the dish, and after that, everything was fine. He gave them promo champagne glasses to smooth things out. G said that Corden was pleasant to him, but nasty to the server. MK was very shaken, but professional that she is, continued to finish her shift. That's the guy that 86'd him. Then customers start weighing in. "Hey, James, you won't remember me, but But me and my friends sat at a table next to you and Harry Styles and some others at Manchurian Legends in London. Oh, wait. Civilian title. Okay, never mind. Oh, yeah, no, there's
a story.
No,
that's a great story.
No, I'm sorry. Hey, this is somebody addressing James Corden directly. That was my confusion. Hey, James, you won't remember me, but me and my friends sat at a table next to you and Harry Styles plus some others at Manchurian Legends in London's Chinatown about 6 years ago. 6 years ago. We didn't bother you, but you were a massively entitled cunt who yelled and treated the waitstaff like shit. And when one of my party politely suggested you calm down, you got really aggressive and threatening in a chubby way like a boozy panda. So my question is this. Why did Harry seem so cool while you were such a massive throbbing bellend? That's a cock, right?
Yeah, bellend is like the head of a
bellend
penis.
Of your cock. Another one. Tales from the cockpit. Half an hour into a New York to London flight, passengers in business class noticed a woman with a crying baby being brought through the curtains by a flight attendant. They looked on in mild horror as they saw the attendant direct her to an empty seat next to James Corden.
Uh-oh.
Expecting a huge celebrity hissy fit to kick off, Corden's cabin mates were impressed to see that he didn't say a word or make any sort of complaint. He simply put on a pair of noise-canceling headphones, pulled an eye mask over his eyes, and turned away from her to sleep, as any of us would. Pretty decent of him, right? When the plane landed, though, passengers were surprised to see Corden remain seated as the woman with the baby struggled to open the overhead locker. And even more surprised when she turned to Corden and said, "For fuck's sake, can you at least hold the baby while I get the bags down?" The woman was his wife! The baby was his baby! I like it when there's a real twist at the end like that. That was good.
Yeah, that is a good twist.
I did it. I wasn't expecting that. There's also a video that I can't get to play of him not knowing him being quizzed on his own show as to the name of the crew, and he doesn't know anyone's name.
Is it as good as when John Voight gets quizzed on the names of his grandchildren?
I haven't seen that either. That has to be amazing.
Yeah.
Look, James Corden, we all knew this day was coming. He's being Ellen'd. We've all seen it. We all knew this would happen, and I for one, I'm delighting in his demise. It makes me so happy. This is the greatest day in history.
Success always angered me.
Yeah.
It did.
No. Hey, fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
The week in sports and culture and whatever. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is so flawless, TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is for all us, TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller.